pô, tu não aguenta ficar curto.
Yeah, bom,
Lembras? I'm not going to mute you. Please mute your mics. I would like to start the meeting. Chairperson, are you available, Chair? I would like to hand over to you now.
yes, I'm in the meeting. I'm available, Mr. Brown.
Okay.
Okay. Morning to everybody that is in the meeting. With the third of March, Wednesday, our special welcome to the labor unions that we have invited to the meeting at the portfolio committee. My name is Bongiwe Mpingu Gigaba. I am the chairperson of the portfolio committee on basic education. A special welcome to NATU, to SAU, to PEU, to NAPTOSA, and to SATU. We're having five unions in our meeting today, but it is our first meeting, and because of that reason, and it's unfortunate, we are meeting for the first time, but then we must meet virtually. But we all understand the situation that we are in as the country. So I think what would be proper first is to allow the members, all the members of the committee who are in the meeting, to just open up your video so that the people can see your face and do introductions. So that people can be a voice and face if it happens that you are not going to use your video moving forward. And request members to do that very quickly.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chair.
Morning, Rasuela.
Yes, and good morning to the other colleagues on the platform. My name is Suela Elvis, member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Morning, Chair. My name is Honorable SL. Yeah, morning, my name is Honorable SL Ngobo, and I had greeted the organizations except for NATU, and therefore greeting NATU as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Deputy Principal, what are you trying to do? Good morning, Chairperson.
Morning, that's important.
And good morning to everybody on the platform. My name is Morwatsetsa Aroni. A member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you, everybody.
Good morning, Chairperson. Because of network, I won't be able to open my video. My name is Ronelo Mashabela, member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you very much.
Because of what, Mashabela? Or network? What is that?
Network, Chairperson.
Hey, you must open. Let's see.
No.
Let's see.
It's really, it can't. It can't open, Chairperson.
Unless she's wearing a gown.
No.
Unless she's wearing a gown. That can be the only reason. You know?
I'm in Mahuba too.
Okay, let's pass. Let's pass, members. Let's go to somebody else.
Yes. Ronnie?
Okay.
Morning, Chairperson and colleagues.
I'm Desiree van der Walt, and I represent the DA on basic education in Parliament.
Morning, Chair, morning, colleagues. My name is Bartoli Lenot Dada, and I represent the DA in the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education.
Thank you, Notada. Someone else?
Good morning, Chair. My name is Regina Mhaule. I'm a Deputy Minister for Basic Education, but I won't stay long in this meeting because I have a cabinet committee that will start now in the next 30 minutes. Thank you, Chair. And greetings to all the unions that we work with in the sector.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DM.
Hey, person. It's the yes. I have apologies for Honourable Yabo, Honourable Dr. Tembekwayo, and Honourable Sukers. Other than that, all the members that are present have indicated. I'm not sure whether Honourable Adwins and Malachi might join us a bit later.
Okay. No, it's fine. If they join us, you'll just let us know. Okay. Can I hand over to the delegation of NATO to introduce themselves?
Morning, Chair. Morning to the Honourable as well as to all the union members. I am Cynthia Sen Rabans, the General Secretary of NATO. I thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning to the Deputy Minister of Basic Education, the other members of
good
the
morning.
Basic...
Good morning.
Okay.
Let's allow you, Dr. Klopper, to continue.
Thank you, Ms. Madam Chair. I was busy saying good morning to the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Brown, and in the other... members of the organized teaching profession. I'm representing the SAIU, and then our president, Dr. Louis Swanepoel, is also present in the meeting, and we look forward to the interaction with the Portfolio Committee. Thank you for the honor and the privilege.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, colleagues. This is Anyone? Mr. Mabuza GM from the National Teachers Union.
Can you open your video, Mr. Mabuza?
I thought my video was on. I don't know what is happening, but it is on, unless it does not appear on the other side.
Oh, I can only see you now. No, thank you very much.
Yes.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Basil Manuel, the Executive Director of NAPTOSA. And with me
We are still busy with NATO. We are coming to you.
Okay.
We are coming to you. We want to do it union by union, say, if you don't mind. Is NATO done? Anyone who have not introduced him or herself from NATO? Okay. Sao?
Good morning, Chair. It's Louis Swanepoel speaking, President of the SAOU. CEO of our union, Mr. Klopper, already introduced himself. It's a privilege for us to be part of today's gathering and also interaction. To you and your team, thank you so much for the invitation and the effort you put in place to make today's happen. Also, a warm welcome to all my other colleagues in the labor sector as well.
Okay, anyone again from SAOU?
It is only us, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Peu? Anyone from PEW? No one?
No, I'm available, Chairperson.
Oh.
Can you see my video?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Ben Machipi, the General Secretary. With me, I saw the Deputy, the Vice President. He maybe can introduce himself, and the President is supposed to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and the members of the Portfolio Committee, DM, and other members from the Labour Union. This is Mkuseli Dubula, Vice President of the Professional Educators Union. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Basil Manuel, the Executive Director of NAPTOSA. With me is our President, who will introduce himself in a minute. Just to acknowledge the invitation and to greet all the members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as, of course, Mr. Brown and all the representatives from the different unions. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. Morning to all the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee and other colleagues from the Labour Union. Nkosi Phendule Ntantala, the President of NAPTOSA, thank you for inviting us and for the opportunity to engage. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Satu? Satu?
Good morning, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and all the honorable members and Mr. Brown and to the leadership of all our unions. My name is Mogwena Maluleke, the General Secretary of SATU. I am with the leadership of SATU. They will introduce themselves. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this first meeting that we are attending. The last time we were here, we were accounting. Today, we are happy to have a beautiful meeting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Satu?
My name is Marope Mapila, the president of SATU. And good morning to everybody, teacher unions present, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister. It's an honor indeed and privilege to be part of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, President.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mabuto Tsele, Deputy President of SATU. Greetings to everyone, greetings to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, and the leadership of Organized Teacher Union. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Dudungo.
Can I just request, can I request the leadership to just show your face, Pela?
Chair, my video is open. I don't know why my face is not showing, but I did try to open it.
Okay, but it's not showing to me. I don't know with other people.
No, we okay. Can't see it.
Well, yeah, can't I can't see him as well. So can we proceed if the video doesn't want to, let's say it's the video that doesn't want to show us yourself then.
I think so.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Dudungo. I'm the Vice President for Gender in SATU. It's indeed a pleasure to be in this meeting today and greetings to all participants in the meeting. I've also tried, I'm on a video, but I don't know whether it shows the slide. Thank you.
It
It doesn't
yes,
show.
We can see.
It doesn't show, but it's
I can.
Now we saw.
Oh yeah, we just I did see you as well.
Yeah, you look beautiful.
They do. They do.
Okay. My name is Nkosana Dolophi, from Sadu. Good morning.
Morning. It's Mkaya. It's my Mkaya, this one.
Good morning.
Oh, any other?
We are firing him if it's your Mkaya.
No, but why must you fire him because of that? you can proceed.
Good morning to everyone, the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, all the leaders of the organised labour. My name is Fasiha Solomon. I'm the Vice President, Education for SATU. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I am Lindyo Motswane, the National Treasurer of SATU.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. I am Nolita Mboniswa, Vice President for Sports, Arts and Culture, SATU. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are done, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee from SATU. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much, Tata Matisse.
Chairperson, we have the hand of Mr. Malinga. I'm not sure whether he hasn't introduced himself.
He can proceed.
Thank you so much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, and colleagues from Labour. This is Mr. Malinga Sibusiso, the Acting President of NATO. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Malinga. Okay. Thank you very much for showing us your faces. We would be able at least to relate the voice and the face if you decide not to use your video. We had thought as the Portfolio Committee we must meet with yourselves as labor union, and we are meeting you because you are a very key stakeholder that is working with the department that then makes our interests to be the same. We are meeting with you for the first time. Like I have said, it's unfortunate because we have been through in and out of provinces, and normally when we do oversight in provinces, we are meeting with the leadership of labor unions as well in our meetings. So we thought that at this level, let us meet also with you so that we don't just go to provinces and meet with the leadership of the labor unions in provinces and we do not have relations at the level of national. We are meeting after the metric results, which of course with the in our view, were the highest performed class, the class of 2020. We all understand the situations and the circumstances that they have studied under, but against all odds, they have tried and they have gave us a good percentage in our view as the Portfolio Committee, because it's a percentage that I think yourselves as well would not have expected it. We are meeting after the SONA by the President, and we are meeting after the budget speech, of course, by the Minister of Finance. So I think Mr. Brown spoke with you that this meeting actually is just an introductory meeting, but we expect you to say something because you are in the meeting. We expect you to share with us who you are, but of course, how do you think we can strengthen the relations, you know, all of us, because like I have said, the interest is one, the interest is a child that is at school. The interest is to produce quality education. So we are in the same interest. We are finding ourselves in the same space and in the same sector, and that makes us then to have differences, of course, in terms of opinions, because we are human beings, but the objective is one. And how do we then utilize the fact that we've got one objective and be able to create a better society, but a better education sector moving forward? So this is really an accounting meeting. It's not for you to account, but rather it's for you to get to know us, to be able to speak with us at any time. If there are issues that we can be able to solve and speak about all of us together, so that we can do that together. So Lewelin, can you give us apologies, or is this the apologies that you have given, are the apologies that are there?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, the only apologies received was an apology from Honourable Yabo, Honourable Dr. Temekwayo, and Honourable Sikers. And unfortunately, our content advisor, Ms. Portia Mbude, will not be able to join us this morning because she's also doing service at the Select Committee this morning. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Okay,
Dr. Lobo. Yeah, can I remind the chairperson that I asked that I be recused somewhere in the middle of the meeting, but I will be joining the meeting again, I believe, before it ends. Thank you very much, chairperson.
Okay, welcome. Thank you very much for the reminder. I saw Honorable Advance joining. Can you just introduce yourself, Honorable Advance?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to all honorable members.
Your video on, please.
Okay. My network is not stable. Let me try to open it. Is it fine?
You are very beautiful.
Very smart.
Just like you. Thank you very much. Okay, yes, my name is Nobise Lord, ladies and Jones. I am a member of the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education and declared by the African National Congress. And I also appreciate the chairperson in your opening for the first time that we'll be having interaction with some of the stakeholders of the basic education sector. So I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Members on the agenda, we've got the unions that would give us very small presentations. And then after that, we would give members to interact with them. So can we give to Satu first? And immediately when Satu is done, it's going to be Sao. I've always said Sao, so it's Sao with me. So can we get Satu to start with the presentation? Whoever that will be dealing with the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning again, Madam Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Member of the Parliament, and members of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. And let me also greet our Deputy Minister, Dr. Mhaule. Without much ado, again, acknowledge the leadership of the unions as partners in education, responsible for labour peace in this country. As you had indicated, Chair, in terms of introducing ourselves and who we are, we were established in 1990, so we are 30 years old. And I will then ask Mr. Brown to go to the next slide, which will also give background to why we were formed. So in 2010, we then realized that after 20 years of our existence, we are still facing some of the properties of the apartheid education and its management, clearly because it contains some contradictions that required serious transformation in a sophisticated manner and a paradigm shift that would then be able to deal with those particular issues. And I need to just quickly deal with them because so that I can understand why it is important we adopted our 2030 vision, but also we came in 1990 to de-racialize the system, to democratize and ensuring that we have got unions recognized in this country. So by these characteristics or some properties of this needed to be disintegrated. But to disintegrate them, you need to understand that apartheid has a hold on social coexistence, and therefore it is ideological matter, and it cannot be divorced from ideology at all, because it was ideological to ensuring that you have what you have today in terms of spatial development, in terms of infrastructure, and many other things that I'm not going to be talking to because you know them very well. So we needed to disable this particular education system and its management of its biotic nature. And we are saying biotic because we acknowledge the fact that apartheid was not a living organism. However, it did possess some biotic properties, such as it was very organic, as well as being very adaptive, and obviously mutating from time to time, changing itself to making sure that they maintain that particular supremacy, maintain that dominance in terms of the economy, in terms of everything, but also not being able to produce the skills that we needed in our country. And of course, anything that has got some biotic properties will be able to reproduce itself. And sometimes when people ban clinics and people ban schools when they want a tart road or when they want a house, you must always go back and understand how damaging this particular system has, because it reproduces itself in terms of self-hate and so forth. So we needed to deal with that. So we came up and said, we need transformation. Next slide. So we developed these five pillars, and I'm not going to take much of your time. I just want to concentrate on pillar number two, which is creating the learning nation, and just be a big background to say, why a learning nation? Chair, any country that develops and have an inclusive economy that is able to deal with racism and be able to deal with the segregation and underdevelopment has to invest in education. But the word I want to use is institutionalized education. When you wake up in the morning, you need to be talking about education. When you are in a taxi or in a train, you need to be saying education is an enabler, is a fundamental human right that can change the lives. And we learned this from Mutata Mandela, who said education is a powerful tool. If it's used, it can change the world. And therefore, if we create a learning nation, it means we can create a nation that loves this country, a nation that can deal with the lack of trust that we have amongst ourselves as Black, white, Indians, and colored, no trust. And then we cannot move as a nation, because then we create, and education can play that particular role. So these pillars, therefore, are then directing us towards 2030 to be able to have a system that is inclusive, a system that is not a one size fits all, but a system that is based on professionalism, is based on quality. Next slide. So we're living in a changed world today because of the COVID-19, a virus that has found us unprepared, that has exposed the lack of resilience of our education system, our health system, our economic system, that everything else has not been built to be able to can withstand any crisis. So we found ourselves in that crisis. Schools closed down and economy was closed down, and obviously we started seeing problems. But what did it do? It started shining the light. It started illuminating. It started exposing these things that basically consciously or unconsciously, by omission or by commission, we might have wanted to forget them, that they are apartheid social injustices, and they were glaring and they were brought to bear. Then we started seeing the levels of inequalities that obviously we might have thought that we have dealt with them decisively since 1994, but we realized, no, there's a school that does not have a toilet. Dignity issue. Umntwana akana toilet, utishara akana toilet, he must go behind the bush, and then we must accept. Then it also started really showing the levels of poverty, that if there was no social grant in this particular country, we would be talking something else at the end of the day. There will be civil war, there will be the unrest that we see, the protests that we see, there will be more worse than what we see today. And it started showing that the economy is very exclusive. The economy is still in the hands of the few who continue to be enjoying the privileges and the luxuries of apartheid, and when the majority of the people are not. And this we see in education. And then the gap between private and public education. And the worst thing that could ever happen is a government or a department of education that will allow that private education and public education must be governed differently, have different privileges, instead of one department of education, which we had to fight for when we're bringing 14 departments of education into one. This is what the COVID has shown us. It has changed us. Next slide, please. Now, these are the challenges. I will never be able to finish the challenges. You know them well when you visit our schools, when you visit our department, you see these particular challenges. But let me just deal with the funding model. The funding model in our country is called equitable formula. Equitable meaning that you are going to look at really issues of equity, issues of dignity, issues of infrastructure that are really fit for education and not just a four-walled room that is called a classroom. So what do you have in terms of the funding model? The funding model is not directed at a school. In other words, the school is not budgeting. If the school was budgeting, we would know, Chairperson, that a school in Pongola, a school that is in Ramarishani, does not have the learners who have got parents staying with them on a daily basis. The parents are working in Johannesburg. So they come back home and they don't have anybody to help them with homework. So it does not take into account the social capital. So you needed to have a model that is based on a school by school to say, this school needs assistant teaching, this school needs this. You have a funding model that basically is oriented towards bureaucracy. So the department have really appointed so many directors, so many chief directors. In actual fact, every area of skill needs a director instead of needing a teacher, a physical science teacher, a sports teacher, an art teacher, and a music teacher. We don't have those things. So the classes are huge, and therefore we need to ensure that we do that. In terms of workload, killer number one for the teachers, they are in Vista, they are in many hospitals in terms of depression. You can go and make a research under the Human Science Research Council. They always update that in terms of how many teachers are absent from school as a result of a lot of administration work that they have got to do, because outcome-based education, whether you call it CAPS or anything, it demands of the teachers to do a lot of administration. With the additional GAs that have come to our school, with the additional assistant teachers that have come to our school, the school has come to a standstill. We're dealing now for this week since we started with administration. So it is an administration burden. And therefore the teachers are being burned out. They don't have family life. And therefore we need to address that. And then psychological well-being. There's no system that you can build without providing, support for mental health. So
support for emotional, needs, support for health and safety in our schools in terms of the PPEs and so forth and so forth. These are some of the challenges. The next slide will also deal with the challenges. Next slide. Just a few challenges in terms of the curriculum. Oh, we need to thank COVID, because COVID now today tells us that certain things were not meant to empower us. And these orthodoxies of assessment and curriculum must be questioned today, so that we are then able to have a curriculum that can be able to address the issues of unemployment and poverty in our country, that we can produce self and critical human beings who are able to create jobs for themselves, and they are able to do the work and so forth. It takes me back to when I used to be visiting Pelindaba, where we have got a nuclear capacity there. I had a professor there who was coming from Geneva or Switzerland, who was working in South Africa in terms of physics and so forth, who was saying, your education system is not going to produce physicians, it's not going to produce physicists, it's not going to produce scientists and so forth unless you change it. It's many, many years ago. So these are the things that we still have got to deal with that. So our learners need to understand that they can do better. But the assessment and testing and factories of exam are not going to work. ECD, the NDP is very clear. 4 years old must have at least 2 years of preschool. That is building the foundation. That is where you are going to see quality and so forth. So today, an ECD practitioner or a great art practitioner earning 7,000 rand. Somebody's earning 8,000 rand, province by province. There are no formal condition of employment. This is a challenge, because this is where the NDP says we can be able to reduce poverty and unemployment if we invest in education and invest in early childhood development. And therefore, we need to look into that. And then we go into the infrastructure. Oh, no, I have already spoken about infrastructure. The schools that are performing in Quintal 1, 2, 3, majority of them in Hamatala, they don't have water. Learners have got to come carrying water. COVID has helped us to have tanks now. Sometimes the tanks are not being filled because the municipality is saying, no, no, we have got our own priority. And then we say, bring a 20 gallons or a 20 liter, and then we bring that to our schools. Next slide, please. Now, what needs to be done? Because I don't think it's important just to come to a meeting, chair, and lament and lament and lament. No, no. We think the most important thing that we must agree that we must do is to improve the quality of education. And then basing that on three things, chair, three things. First, education, to be qualitative, it has got to be based on context, your context. If you understand your context, you'll then be able to produce great thinkers, great engineers, great teachers, and great theologians, and so forth. If you understand your culture, you know that you'll not fail, because you'll not be waiting to be told who you are or what you are, but you will know that I am who I am, and then I'm able to do what I can do and how I do it. And therefore, you need inputs. You need to be able to have money. You need to have teachers who are highly qualified. So we are calling for teacher development. TUC is dead. It's not operating because it is not budgeted for. And then that is very fundamental, because teacher unions are offering themselves to train the teachers. You see, Murat Seta was trained by us as well, and sharpened his thinking around when we were developing the curriculum in 1994, 1995. We made sure that as a regional leader, we take him to a training and train him to understand the importance of loving this country and loving the children and produce good results. So it was teacher development. But if we don't have money, we're going to have to have a situation where other nations are developing and we're not. Funding is what we need, Chair. You can read for yourself and so forth. We need to change this model. We need to base the model on a school and be able to deal. Yes, we have got economic problems. However, we need to understand that the mirror for economy is education. If you see the economy not growing, it's because of the education. What are we producing? What type of skills are we producing? Are we still producing industrial skills, or are we going to produce the gig economy skills today? Do we have the facilities to do that? Give the teachers the gadgets, make sure that you train them, give them the data so that they can be able to access their learners. COVID has changed the situation. It says they cannot confine ourselves to the classroom. When the school is going to be closed, we need to be talking to our learners, we need to be teaching them and so forth, but it can only be done by a highly qualified teacher. So let's make sure that funding addresses that.
Let's build resilience, Chair. Our system must be ready for the next pandemic or the next crisis, because there are going to be more and more pandemics and crises because of climate change and global warming, which is another pandemic on itself. The pandemic on gender-based violence, we can deal with it. We need more development in our teachers, integrate that into our curriculum so that we're able to go on. We need dialogue, Chair. You're not going to be able to have progress in our country if we're not going to have proper consultation. In 2020, we started seeing some good consultation, but in 2021, we started seeing managerialism, where you are called for 1 hour and you're consulted for 1 hour, you are being told to do because we are paying you a salary, therefore you must jump and so forth. We need that dialogue. If we dialogue, we will not have disruption in our schools because we don't want disruption. So we need to have bargaining structures that are functional, that are being supported, and we need to improve on that with the DG and all the other people that are employed there, and they're willing to do that. We can do that, and we can always dealing with MTF processes in a better way by allowing the facilitation by the ELRC. We have seen how Eastern Cape grew and started having resilience on the basis that they utilize the ELRC for purposes of facilitation so that they deal with a problem and not leave them to the dispute level where they can end up in a crisis and then in a dispute format. So let's engage on matters. Let's use the law that is there to ensure that we are consulting each other with our department, because we need each other. We are partners in education. Last slide. We have developed a campaign where we're saying we need to decolonize the curriculum, but therefore these campaigns, we are saying the teachers at work, building the nation, is one campaign we are running. We have another campaign, Chair, that is called I'm a School Fan. In that particular campaign, we are saying to the communities, you can't ban a school because that is life. You cannot block the children from getting into the school because you are not happy with the counselor that was elected and then you don't like that counselor. We are saying we care, we love, we teach, we educate. We really have got to ensure that we denounce violence in our schools. It's another campaign that we're running. We're running with the taxi industry, where we're saying let's educate ourselves, let's conscientize ourselves around this particular issue with the only one purpose, the purpose of institutionalizing education, that when you wake up, you talk, anywhere you talk, you must say we need better quality education, and not private education, but public education, because we need to instill hope and confidence in public education. Let's make education fashionable. Let's build social cohesion. And thank you. Last slide is that the learner who says, I'm grateful of my teachers, because today I can address the portfolio committee chair because my teachers taught me, and I honor one teacher called Khati, who was a mathematician, a very good teacher. Never had a textbook, but at least he managed to give me a distinction in Form 3. And another one was Mama Bolo, who gave me a distinction in physical science and biology in Form 3, and they never had textbook. And I don't want to be in a classroom where there's no textbooks today. On behalf of my president and the leadership of SADC, we thank you so much. We are really honored.
Thank you very much. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Brown, can you flag the presentation, or must I do it from my side? I can do it from my side.
If you are able to do it from your side, I would appreciate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just a moment. Once again, good morning, and Madam Chair, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee and other colleagues of the organised teaching profession. I want to start off with the question that you posed, and that is how to strengthen relationships. First of all, I think that we need to keep the communication lines open. The matters that we are raising today are the matters that we would like to discuss with you, let's say in more detail at a later stage. They emanate from our provincial representatives, and I mean by that the provincial chairpersons and the provincial secretaries. And the focus of the presentation is on the teacher, and I think my good friend and colleague, Mgwena, has alluded to that as well. And may I say that on the aside as well, that in the organized teaching profession, we all belong to Education International. We have taken hands and we work together excellently. Our focus will be on broad trends and not on the detail of it. And what we would like to do is also show you those matters where we think that the red lights are starting to flash, and sometimes they are flashing bright red at the moment. And lastly, with regard to the relationship, is it is an ongoing process and it's not an event. We must keep on speaking to each other, and that is the lesson that we learned in the organized profession as well. Madam Chair, if we go to the first slide, I'd like to go back to the national budget that was announced last week. And I'm quoting here from Minister Mbuweni's budget speech. And he says, over the medium term, rising from 387.2 billion in 2020-21 to 460 billion in the year 2023-24. And our comment on that is that it sounds impressive to announce that the budget will grow with 28.9 billion rand. But Madam Chair, it only grows by 1.88% per annum. We all know that inflation is approximately 3 to 4%. So it's a step backwards in real terms of 2%. And then the Department of Basic Education has announced some important research, and that is that the education inflation grows with an additional 2 to 3%. So, Madam Chair, this budget is going to land us in hot water in a year or two's time. Another quote is from Minister Mbuweni's speech. In the basic education sector, compensation of employees in provincial education departments remain the largest spending category, representing 51.2% of total functional expenditure. Now, Madam Chair, we are saying that education is a capital or is a labor-intensive activity, and 51.2% is really not excessive. But then the last one I'd like to point out is that low compensation growth of 0.8% over the MTEF period combined with early retirements will reduce the number of available teachers. And Madam Chair, what we are looking here is an attempt to reduce the number of educators in the process. At the current moment, we have an average learner-educator ratio of 33.5 in primary schools and 32.2 in secondary schools. But Madam Chair, that implies minimum class sizes of 39 and 36 respectively. And it does not make any sense to expect that education will have to contend with larger class sizes. And Madam Chair, we made the point previously, and the organized profession has made the point, that there's a direct relationship between class size and academic performance. So, Madam Chair, with regard to the education budget, there's a red light flashing there that we need to take cognizance of. With regard to the remuneration of educators, the following. It is well known now that PSCBC Resolution 1 of 2018 that made provision for salary adjustments last year, that was never implemented. It was referred to the Labour Appeal Court. And based on technical points, the judges with respect said that they cannot implement year three. But Madam Chair, here's a red light flashing. Labour has tabled demands for 2021 and 2022. We are continuing with the Constitutional Court case, and our demands are linked to CPI. Consumer price index, and it's not excessive. We are all picking up that educators are becoming impatient, that they are under severe financial pressure, and that they are putting the unions under pressure in this regard. And what I'm saying, Madam Chair, is that education can't afford labor unrest, and that your intervention is imperative. this year is going to be extremely difficult year when we kick off with negotiations in the PSCBC, and all unions are under severe pressure to bring something home to their members. Their members have sat without any increases for the last 2 years, and we all know that educators are not the best paid people in the labor market, and as a profession, we are paid, let's say, the least of all professions. With regard to administration of education at the provincial level, the following. Madam Chair, with respect, the level of work that is rendered to the education sector, to schools, to educators, is not satisfactory, and it cannot be regarded as a professional service. If you go to district offices, circuit offices, you find an abuse of COVID-19. They are absent from offices because there was one other infection and they closed the offices for a week or two, or they work on a 50-50 basis. We find in many offices that there's no internet, there's no email, there's no hardware, there's no connectivity. The electricity has been cut, phones have been cut, and in the process they can't render the service. And this is really causing a lot of frustration for schools, a lot of frustration for educators. And provinces that require urgent attention are Mpumalanga, the Northwest, the Eastern Cape, the Free State, and Limpopo, which is a perennial problem in Limpopo. With regard to post-level one educators, and more specifically the conversion of temporary educators to permanent status, Madam Chair, provinces do not publish vacancy lists or bulletins for post-level one educators. And the only way that these educators are able to become permanent employees or permanent educators is by converting their temporary status after 3 months. But we experience serious problems in many cases in this regard. We know that ELRC Resolution 4 of 2018 makes provision for the conversion of temporary educators to permanent in terms of Section 6B of the Educators Employment Act. And our plea is that provinces must follow the example of Gauteng, where after 3 months, a principal may apply for the conversion to permanent status. And we can't afford an impasse as currently in the Mpumalanga, where those educators were not converted in the last 15 months plus to permanent status. And we are currently in serious discussions to see how we can convert those educators to permanent status to avoid litigation and costly court cases and possibly embarrassment in this regard. So, Madam Chair, your intervention in this regard is vitally important. With regard to the COVID-19 directions, the following. We moved down to level one with effect from 1 March 2021. But Madam Chair, we have not seen any guidance provided to schools with regard to what the effect of that has been. And that is just not good enough. Schools inquire on a daily basis in regard to the effect of the move to level one, in regard to timetabling. Are they still bound by the fact that they can only have, let's say, 50% of the learners at the school? Or if the social distancing is still a requirement? Or how does it affect timetabling? Just a word from the department will assist tremendously. How does it affect co-curricular activities, sports, arts, choirs, etc.? And provinces do not provide guidance in this regard. The same with traveling. There are many issues that need to be addressed in this regard. So what we are saying is that education requires a quicker response from the education authorities when there is a move from the one alert level to the next alert level. Madam Chair, just from our side, a short few issues that we would like to place on the agenda. There are many others that we could have raised, but at this stage we think we want you to focus on the main trends and not the detail of many of the issues. Madam Chair, we say thank you, and we would gladly participate in discussions hereafter. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Can we now give an opportunity to Peu, and then after that it's gonna be Natu.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I request that the slide be flashed that side? Thank you. Let's move to the second slide, which gives our historical background. That we are long formed in 1906 by Sefako Makgato. We are the brainchild of the person who assisted in formulating the ruling party. Now, we were formed because of the past injustices as they are reflected in rape, and we remained the beacon. Can you still hear me? Hello, Chairperson?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear
okay.
you.
Okay, I did not see the slide. Okay, we can move to the third slide. That we are founded on the core values. Amongst them is professionalism. As teachers, we remain professionals and we are dedicated to serve the governing party of the day with utmost diligence and patriotism. We can go to the next slide. Those are the historical leaders, the past leaders of the union. You can go through that one. The next slide. Now we are indicating that regionally in the SADC, we are the founders of an association called the Association of Non-Allied Teacher Unions of Southern Africa. It is called ANTUSA. Now, this is consistent with one of our founding core values of political non-aligned with other unions of similar mind in the SADC region. And very important is that we are a member of Education International. Now, here we are a member because of the assistance of our colleagues in the ELRC, the four unions that are present here. They assisted us greatly so that we are recognized internationally. And we want to thank them in front of the portfolio committee for their spirit of camaraderie, and we remain indebted for the assistance that they gave us. Can go to the next slide. That locally, we are members of the ELRC, and we are together with the NAPTOSA, SAO, and NATU in the ELRC. Can go to the next and last slide. I am as short as a Bermuda. Now, as you are aware, that COVID-19 pandemic has ushered in a number of challenges and invariably dictates a new normal in the way we should be going about in conducting our business. And education is not spared from this harsh reality. The pandemic has laid bare existing inequalities in our schools, ranging from infrastructure to modern technology resources, with majority of rural and township schools being on the receiving side, as they could not comply with the social distancing, and at the same time, continuing with the normal business due to severe shortage of classrooms, which consequently dictated that learners attend schools alternatively. In some instances, learners will attend once per week. To share with you, one of our members is a teacher in grade one. She was complaining that when they come next week, they've forgotten completely. Then other week when they come, she had to start the same lesson until the end of the year. And this had a knock-off effect on the delivery of curriculum and perpetuated existing disparities in the sector. As we thought we are off the wood, now in 2021, when we thought we will cover the curriculum, we are living with the variant now, which is now from bad to worse. We therefore want to take this opportunity and make a passionate plea to the Portfolio Committee that you move with speed in prioritizing the redress in our schools. Like other frontline workers, teachers are putting their life in the firing line as they navigate through the pandemic. But in return, their efforts seems to go unnoticed and unappreciated by the employer, as my other colleagues have already indicated. Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson.
Thank you, Natu. And then after that, it will be Naptosa.
Thank you very much, Chair. The person that's speaking, that's the General Secretary of NATO, Messias Barnes. Maybe before we start, I'm going to apologize for not sending in the statement, but we spoke to Llewellyn that is going to be in before the end of the day. But maybe before I go on to the challenges that we encounter each and every day as the National Teachers Union, let me first explain what NATO is. NATO, the National Teachers Union, it is the National Teachers Union, which formerly or historically was only the Black Union, a trade union, which was established in 1918. Now it's open to all nations for the purpose of, that's the first purpose that we're in, that is improving quality of teaching and learning, which in turn leads to the general improvement in education. Secondly, the National Teachers Union's purpose too is working for the improvement of the conditions of service for the teachers in general and attending to the needs and problems of its members in particular. So NATO has a mission or statement. The mission of NATO is to provide an organizational home and a professional support system for the professionally orientated university, college, office and school-based educators. So NATO works according to four principles. The first one is self-reliance and self-development, where we are having our own Professor Emenda that we have employed as the National Teachers Union to work with teachers in order to teach us that they must be upgraded in education when he works with them in order for them to get the master's degree or the PhD degree. And then the second principle is the freedom of association and right to organize. Third one is the professional approach to teaching inspired by children's right to learn. The fourth one, political and religious non-alignment. That's a very good one because we always say when we come to NATO, we don't speak of politics. Yes, but we only speak of labor issues in order to help teachers in totality. Autonomy and independence, enhancement of all aspects of working life of educators and all employees of the Department of Education. Affirmation of the formerly disadvantaged educators and all other members, employees in the education sector. So we also as NATO, there are so many things that are there in order to enhance the quality of education. The first one, we inspire teachers and other employees in education through NATO Teacher Development Institute to improve their academic and professional status by engaging in self-development programs like the first one is active participation of subject societies and various academic interest groups. Second one, management a workshop for teachers in management positions. Third one, leadership seminars for the general upliftment of members. Fourth, organizes curriculum development and implementation workshops. First, advises members on matters affecting education. Disseminates information to members by means of newsletters, flyers, and circulars. Organizes cultural activities like sports and music competition for her members and schools. So those are the things that we normally do as the National Teachers Union. Then we move on now. We are going to be looking at the challenges that we as the National Union encounters daily in our South African community. For example, we are having nine provinces where we have, in other provinces, we have the HODs. For example, I've been mentioning this all over, where we have an HODs where whenever we write letters to them, they don't respond. And then at the end of the day, we are finding that our members are being charged wrongly just because of the HOD that doesn't do the work properly.
For example, I've got a school which is called Ezibilian, that is in Umkhanyakude, where the member was discharged from the system in September last year. And the member is at home. And when we look into it, we are only going to see that it was a fraud that was done, because the principal of the school charged the member according to Section 14, but the member was at school. When you look at the timetable, you find the timetable was TPEX by the principal of the school, but the HOD has signed the letter to terminate the member. So that on its own, to us, it seems as if all our members are going to be terminated unfairly. So we need to work with the HODs of the provinces to capacitate them. That is their duty, to protect the members against the principal, because there are those principals of schools which you find that they are very aggressive when it comes to members. So those are the issues that we come across. And another thing, we are having that the substitutes in our country, they are there for more than 5 years. Can you be a substitute teacher for 5 years? Those substitute teachers, that is to show that they are not getting their house allowance, they are not getting their medical aid, so they have just been there, they are not getting the benefits. So that on its own, we feel that those teachers are not being treated fairly. So we will urge the parliament maybe to work on that, to see to it that the Department of Education eradicates all those petty issues where teachers are not getting what they are supposed to be getting. And we move on to the qualified grade R educators who are not absorbed in the system. You find that in each and every province, there are teachers in schools that are already qualified as grade R. As it has been mentioned by Maluleka as well as Chris, where they are saying teachers in grade R, they are qualified, but they are not absorbed. Instead of that, the department or the provincial department will bring teachers from the WhatsApp, whatever they are saying, and bring it to school. Whereas there are teachers that are still there that needs to be absorbed. That means, for example, in KZN, we've got the secular that guides us how to go on of employing teachers. So therefore, it shows that it is not used properly. So we will urge as well the Parliament to help us with the Department of Education to work with us so that teachers, they must also get what they are supposed to be getting. For example, let us look at those teachers in grade R that are only getting 7,000 rand. They've got families, they've got their own children that they're supporting, children that are going to universities, and they are qualified for more than 3 years, but they still remain in as a grade R teacher. Whereas there are vacancy posts that are there in the school, but other people take over those posts. Then we move on and find that's my fourth point, renovation of dilapidated schools. For example, we've got a number of schools that are dilapidated beyond 5 years. Some of the schools, for example, I can give a school that has been burnt. The admin of the school has been burnt 5 years ago. That is Ilizwi High School in Richards Bay. And the teachers are squashed in one room where the principal is also in the very same room. And we've been talking to the HOD, speaking to the Department of KZN, and speaking about them, telling them that this is not the way the schools should operate, but only to find that they are just have turned a deaf ear. So that's a problem that you are faced with. We don't know what to do in order to send forward our grievances, send forward our critical issues, but there's nothing that has been done. So those are the issues that we look into. Then we come to the schools with no floor space, not giving mobile classes to avoid overcrowding. We've got a number of schools that the class is about 70 and 80 learners in each class. For example, let me just give one example. In Mandeni, they were rioting 2 weeks back just because the learners did not have classrooms, and they were all grouped in smaller classes where teachers can't even move. We do understand that now we are having this COVID-19. We need to adhere to the social distancing, but only to find that some of the schools are not doing that. And the department, it is the sole responsibility of the department to take mobile classes to school. They know very well that schools classes are very small. So therefore, they should take those mobile classes to school so that the teachers are able to teach in a very good manner. And then we move on. We've got the other one is the provision of water and sanitation. We've got a number of schools as well in an entire country. For example, we've been informed from people from Limpopo as well as KZN and Eastern Cape that they don't have toilets if it happens that there are toilets that are being sent to schools, those toilets are very old and they can't even stand on their own. They fall with the learners. So that on its own is to show that the schools themselves need, the Department of Education, they need to see to it that the toilets that they send to school are of good standard. Because we are working with youngsters, we are working with young learners. For example, in one of the schools in Richards Bay, it happened that a learner almost fell into the toilet, those pit toilets, just because those mobile toilets weren't sent to school. So we would love that the department could send toilets to school as soon as possible because of this COVID-19. And then we move on to the post-level one vacancies not being advertised. This is very crucial because, for example, let me just give one example here in KZN. We are having what is called the app, which is not working at all. So when we speak about this app, where the teachers, the unemployed teachers have to apply in this app, but it's not working at all. When they come back, if it happens that they apply and then they don't finish, when they come back, the app will tell them your ID is not there. So that on its own creates problems. So, but we are finding teachers now that have left university, that completed their academic year in 2012, that don't have jobs, but only to find that teachers that recently have decreased, just recently came out from the university, those are the ones that are being employed. So we are questioning, how is this app working? Because when we ask them how they employ this teacher, they are going to say they've used the app. And this app is not transparent. We don't know what number is that person in that particular app. So that on its own is creating problems for us to know how many teachers are being employed, how many teachers recently qualified, and then how many teachers went employed maybe 5 years before? Because there are so many of them that are out there, and they're just waiting for us to help them. And I've received a letter from unemployed educators where they were launching their grievance, sending their statement saying that they're being unemployed, but this app, they are saying the app is working, whereas the app is not working. So we would love the parliament to work hand in hand with the department, so therefore that this app could work, and then if it will help, because we don't know when. But we would love maybe to say that the old system of giving a bulletin, whereby all the educators, that is transparency on its own, whereby all the educators, they see the bulletin, they apply, and then the relevant candidate has been taken into position, not to say a person from the app is just taken and sent to school. So that those are the problems that we encounter. Beyond that, we are going to find that maybe there are schools that are schools that are supposed to be getting the norms and standard. We are a bit worried about those schools, especially schools in KZN, schools in Eastern Cape, whereby they get this money very late. And all the teachers or maybe the principals of schools are expected to begin the year buying books for the learners, doing things for the school, using the very same norms and standards, but only to find that they don't have. And it only reaches them maybe in July or in August. Then where are they expected to get the money from? Because they can't use money from their pockets. So that is the problem. We so wish that the parliament as well as the DPE could help us in that to speed up the process of doing everything for the teachers to get the money on time. Then in conclusion, COVID-19 has unveiled how far we are in terms of the education sector, and the deeply entrenchment is inequality above and beyond this. We need to be mindful of the fourth industrial revolution. As we need to be we need to be mindful in this. So what we're saying here as the National Teachers Union, we are saying educators need to be workshopped and introduce radical methods of teaching and learning in order for us to help the schools. And we also say the sector needs to implement innovative curriculum that fully prepares, shapes, enhances this generation for where the world is heading. So that is what we are saying. So in honor of our own late president, Mr. S.A. Thompson, it is utmost importance to prioritize the teachers at every single level of the education system to tangibly address grievances, mediate between the employer and the employee in order to have a harmonious relationship which sufficiently enables opportunity for the experiential growth
and development of the Department of Education. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Natosa?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Llewellyn, are you able to slide that presentation?
I will do so.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Madam Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity once again. On behalf of my president, Nkosi Pendule, and NAPTOSA at large, I want to first contextualize what we are going to do. In terms of the presentations made, let me also thank my colleagues who preceded me, because a number of the issues will be similar, if not exactly the same. But in the context, because we are presenting some of the issues that we believe are not done or have become undone, it creates the impression that we haven't recognized how far we've come. And that's the first thing that I want to say, is that notwithstanding all the issues that may be highlighted, it doesn't take away all the things that have indeed been achieved over the period of time of the last two decades, or almost three decades. And it is important to pause every time and acknowledge that, because in fact, a lot has been achieved. The next slide, please, Llewellyn. A very brief synopsis of the mandate of the union, NAPTOSA. NAPTOSA started off with, as an amalgam of a whole lot of unions, the oldest having been established in 1904. And then, of course, eventually we were a federation from 1991, and then from 2006, a unitary structure, and which today exists in that format. So we have a long history, but history is only as important as we make a difference, because we can't live by the history of the glory days past. We must have our glory days now. So one of the important issues is what we see our work as being. Not only service benefits, not only salaries, conditions of service, but the health and safety of members, the protection of members, assisting members, and of course engaging with the departments, whether it be the national or the provincial department. NAPTOSA prides itself as being a non-party political union. We are not non-political, for heaven's sake. You can't live in South Africa without being political. But we are non-party political. We don't take party stances. However, you will find that we support many issues of the ruling party. We may sympathize with some issues of the other parties, because that is the nature of how a non-party political affiliation works. I want to now move off that particular point, and Llewellyn, the next slide, to talk about some of the challenges, recent challenges, challenges that are dogging the system even now. First of all, in terms of the treatment of employees, and I deliberately use employees and not teachers, because our support staff at schools falls in this category as well. The lack of recognition that teachers are the most important resource in education and an irreplaceable resource. It doesn't matter the computers and the smart boards, etc., if we don't have a well-trained, dedicated, and well-looked-after teacher corps. That resource, if that resource fails, then the entire system fails. We are concerned that certain things show themselves. A healthy disregard for our employees. Mentioned already, the failure to implement the agreed salary increase. The non-implementation of a host of collective agreements. The no annual increments or of long service awards for our non-teaching staff. And then, of course, even disciplinary actions where we see long and protracted suspensions. These all go to how we view our employees or our teachers and our non-teaching staff as a valuable resource. So the failure to reward employees and the undermining of the right to collective bargaining is what we can sum all this up just with those two points. Desperate point of concern, Madam Chair. I'm not going to belabor the point. You've heard about the Constitutional Court application, and you've heard about the what we've tabled as demands for the coming year. But it is more than salary, more than money. It is also the respect of the resource. Thank you, Llewellyn. The next one. Let's look at the working conditions. Much has been said about overcrowded classes. The reason why COVID was so harsh is because we have failed to attend to the overcrowding situation in our schools. And even now, with a rotational system of 50%, there are still schools overcrowded at 50%. Our poor infrastructure has been dogging us for a long time, whether it be mud classes, whether it be ablutions, whether it be simply just buildings that are no longer safe for our learners to be in. But let's pause there and just let's reflect on how COVID presented us with a golden opportunity to correct some of these things. And the Union Collective here today is responsible for ensuring that many more schools have water today than had before. But it is still not good enough because some of those measures are not permanent measures. And we have a mantra which says we must fix bad better. When we repair something, when we fix it, there's little value in replacing a pit latrine with a portable toilet because that portable toilet is not sustainable in the long run. That water tank where tankers have to come and fill the water is not sustainable in the long run. We've got to have permanent solutions. So we need to shift the attention to permanentizing, if I may coin a word, making more permanent those valuable measures that we have put in place. We are worried about the administrative overload, which has been mentioned already, and the non-recognition of the impact of COVID on everybody, because there's an unrealistic pressure to catch up, lost teaching time, not lost teaching, not lost content, but lost time, and time that was lost due to external factors. The result being we have reduced holiday periods, amendments to the calendars which add to stress and tension, and this year, the longest school calendar for teachers in the history of South Africa. Please check my facts. There has never been a school calendar of this length for teachers in South Africa. Let's move on. Llewellyn. The challenges I continue with is health and safety. The safety measures are still insufficient because of so many provinces cutting corners, where the goalpost shifts from supplying the PPEs to saying schools need to purchase these from the norms and standards. And we are not blind to the fact that there is a money crisis. However, even with the best intentions in the world, some schools won't manage to do this. And the health and safety concerns of our teachers, of our support staff, remained at an all-time high. The direct impact of this is on the psychosocial, the psychology, or rather the mental health of our teachers. And the insufficient psychosocial services just seems to exacerbate that particular problem. And if we pause there, I want to remind the House, Madam Chair, that if our teachers are not in a sufficiently good mental state, they can't help the children for whom they are the only counselor that the child will ever know. They are the only support that the child will know other than their parents. And if we don't look after the teacher, the child suffers as a direct result. I want to talk about infrastructure. I've mentioned already the crumbling, but more importantly also the insufficient maintenance of infrastructure. If we are not maintaining on time, these structures eventually become unsafe. And we can't have a crisis response like we had with the water, like we had with the ablutions. That is not a sustainable intervention. And that is what we are asking here today, is that we start thinking differently of the sustainability of infrastructure, simply because we cannot afford to spend millions transporting water daily when a pump is the only thing that is wrong with ensuring that there is a regular water supply. It is in that realm that I am contextualizing this particular set of issues. The next one, please, Llewellyn. I want to move on to some of our concerns around human relations. Consultation. I want to first foreground that the union collective, NAPTOSA together with the other unions, has had a long and a good, sometimes challenging relationship with our powers that be from the ministry down. And we certainly appreciate the relationship we've had. However, there are sometimes things that happen that concern us. So what I'm saying doesn't suggest that we are not having a relationship. It suggests that relationships should be carefully looked at, should be nurtured, and should be improved. And some consultative structures, it would appear, like CEM and HEDCOM, are given precedence over the unions. And yet the NEPA is very clear on the two structures that have to be consulted. And sometimes we find that consultation is more of information sharing rather than substantive consultation. You can't sit in a meeting with unions, hear every one of them make a presentation in a similar direction, and nothing, not one iota is considered in the final analysis. This says there is something wrong. And this strains relationships. And we work very hard to ensure that our relationships are working relationships. There is an excessive weight given to the provincial education department's versions versus the union's research results. Madam Chair, we are on record as questioning the validity of some of these reports that come out of provinces after we do research, and the research conflicts completely with reports that say every one of our schools is ready. Every one of our schools has staff. And then we find that not a single staff member has been appointed to replace the people that we need. And this is the type of thing that I am highlighting. In terms of our national and provincial interface, the concurrent powers, which are there, and they complicate the national policy enforcement. And we want to say that we want to ensure that national policy is not watered down in provinces, because that is where we have serious issues that arise. So agreement at a national level must be agreement at provincial level. Otherwise, we have this disjuncture that happens. And I can cite many examples of the disjuncture where, in fact, Madam Chair, if we don't start tailoring and ensuring that the watering down of provincial decisions doesn't happen, we get into trouble. In my next slide, I'll allude more to that. Could we move to the next slide, please, Llewellyn? Ladies and gentlemen, curriculum and assessment policy, as an example, are often not completely CAPS compliant. But CAPS is a national policy. And when we find provinces changing some of that, or even decisions that are agreed to now that don't consider the full policy of assessment and curriculum, and I think it was Mugwena who mentioned that we must now realize that COVID has taught us that these aren't holy cows. However, we must recognize that policy supersedes provincial want-to-dos. Otherwise, we run into trouble there. We are concerned about the proliferation of NPOs and for-profit entities at the expense of public education, and especially so in certain sectors of education, where credence is given to those voices more than to the voices in education, like our unions. We worried about the role they're playing in ECD migration, in ICT, when in fact we are appointing people in the department to do this, but we have all these other entities seeming to do their own thing and driving direction. And then, of course, lending weight to these particular positions, sometimes well beyond what ought to be. And most often, CM is quoted, and we certainly doubt that CM has even taken some of these decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, that is just some of the issues that NAPTOSA would like to put on the table. Not because we believe everything is going awry, not at all. We are very cognizant of the many things that are working and working well. But we are also cognizant of the gaps. And unless we plug the gaps, and this is the appeal, unless we plug the gaps simply become bigger. I thank you for the opportunity, and I rest.
No, thank you very much to our teacher unions. Thank you very much to everybody that have presented. Members, that's the presentations from the 5 labor unions. Can I note, honorable members that would want to have a bite in presentations? And I take it that when you speak, you would be speaking on all presentations, because we are not going to deal with the one by one. I'm noting there is a hand of Honorable Mrua Tsetla and Honorable Ngobo. So those are the hands and Honorable Adwans and Honorable Siwela. So those are the hands that I have noted for now. And the fighter. Okay. And yes, and Honorable. Can we start with you, Principal?
Chairperson, good morning, and thank you once more for this opportunity. Chair, let us take this opportunity to welcome and appreciate the presentations from our 5 and T teacher union within our system. Indeed, let's acknowledge with appreciation the role played by this reliable and unavoidable allies, partners in the delivery of quality public education for our children. It is true that we are meeting teacher union chairperson for the very first time in this 6th parliamentary administration. But for starters, Chair, let me say, when we met for the first time after the first wave of this pandemic, our portfolio committee was not oblivious of the loss the entire department suffered in the hands of this gruesome and deadly pandemic, COVID-19. And that's why, of course, the whole portfolio committee got showered with a number and unending condolences. It would be naive of us if we were not to say the same in this meeting with the real custodians of the teaching corps. Of course, course, from the departmental officials, we also must acknowledge that we lost scores and scores of teachers who succumbed to this deadly pandemic. Our special condolences must here and now be directed to NATU, who lost their president. Baba Skumbuzo, Alan Johnson, to name but few. We normally, together with Mapolo Baba Ngobo, would say the loss of one teacher is one too many. Our heartfelt and deep condolences for all this loss that we encountered. On the presentations, Chairperson, let me say, almost all of the five unions shared with the portfolio committee on a number of commonalities, their visions and missions, thereby outlining the purpose of their existence. Starting from challenges emanating from the working conditions to poor infrastructures, just to name them. Of course, under frustrations, they were talking about the whole issue of the teaching model, workload killer, health and safety. But given all this, what they have shared with us, it puts us in a better light, Chairperson, as we operate on education under this very portfolio committee. Maybe we should just but say special thanks to all these teacher unions. We are not oblivious of the toil and the hardship that they are operating within. Fellow teacher unions, your resilience under COVID-19 pandemic is not something to be ignored or overlooked. Despite all this, you were able to produce the results in grade 12. Given all this hardship that you have to
Chairperson, I think we may have lost Honorable Morava Setla.
Yes, he broke. Tata Morava Setla? Okay, can we leave him for now? Can we leave him for now and go to Babu Ngobo?
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And one has to commend the presentations that came from the teacher organizations. That was very helpful. Honorable Chairperson, first of all, I just want to join the honorable members who shared the messages of condolences to NATU for losing their president, a renowned man of integrity, who passed on, I would say, just towards the end of December or beginning of January. I don't remember the date. But then, Chairperson, we're sitting here and listening to the teacher organizations who are saying things that are not very different. Actually, they are very similar, most of them. I just wanted to pick on just a few similar broad issues before coming to a few specifics. Teacher unions are faced with problems of the concurrent powers that we have between the national government and the provincial governments, provincial governments. You find that there are problems that happen in the provinces, which when handled, teacher organizations seem to reach a ceiling in a particular province or in those provinces. And when the matter is escalated to the national level, there is not much that the national level can assist with, simply because of these concurrent powers. The national level would say, wait a bit, but those are the responsibilities of the provincial government. Hence my now saying, Chairperson, you rightfully pointed out that this is a meeting which we could say is the first meeting, first engagement with the teacher organizations. And I wish we could have more, because I believe that together we could assist. There is that gap which exists between the provincial and the national department, and it must be closed. And I'll give an example here. Teacher organizations, they work together. They have a platform. They work together with the department, national department, and there are provincial departments represented there in the ELRC. It's a good platform. But the problem here is that when they go back, there is an issue when they take matters up with their provinces. They seem to reach the cul-de-sac with their HODs and maybe the MSAs. One of the representatives, I think it was NATO, if not Gwen Maluleka, mentions that, you see, one of the problems is they have to go to courts. Why should there be a number of court cases, the teacher organizations suing the department, when there is this platform? I think, therefore, Chairperson, it would help very much if we have more of these meetings, because it could assist, maybe eliminate, if not reduce, a number of these costs, money which is spent unnecessarily. Now, Chairperson, I was taken up when the teacher unions, from the first one in particular, they gave us the fundamental pillars which form the basis of their existence. SABTU mentioned seven, NATU mentioned, not seven, four pillars, and NATU mentioned seven, but even if the other organizations were not very specific, but you could get that sense of what make them who they are. That is very much appreciated, because in the most, you find that they all exist for teaching and learning on one hand, and the conditions of services for the teachers they represent on the other hand. Now, Chairperson, this is what, of course, the teacher organizations have to stand for, and they must be assisted in all respects when they carry out those functions. Chairperson, there are a few specific issues here which I just want to raise, and I will not be going from one to the other organization. I'll just be, I won't mention them by names. the issue of ECD and teacher development seem to be central to me, to the issues which we have to pay attention to, or which the teacher unions and the department have to pay attention to, as they fight for the improvement of quality of teaching and learning in the space in which they exist. Now, Chairperson, if you look at the specific issues which they bring, they're talking about the post-level one teachers who are not employable. They are employable. The problem is the red carpet they have to go through. One mentioned the apps which are not working, and the PL1 teachers are very critical in a school. And that would need to receive attention. Maybe the deputy minister will assist in this particular case. In what do we do when it becomes difficult to employ a post-level one educator? Because that one is a very important post. It's a person who stands in front of the learners. Well, they talk of the renovations, unrenovated and dilapidated schools. We need to pay attention to the schools. The schools that have been ignored for a very long time. In particular, the schools that are far in the remote areas. Those schools seem to be very much neglected. There is this thing, Chairperson, of the schools, which the departments, provincial departments, particular provincial departments, are building. Schools which are very costly, I wouldn't say a school is costly, which take a lot of money, so to speak. You build a school using 200 million rand, when on the other hand, you have a school which does not have a roof. You have learners which are housed in a dilapidated school. Why couldn't for a start, begin by trying to be a bit even, rather than having a world-class school while you have the schools, while you have the learners, which are under, they do not have a roof covering their heads. It's just like they are under the trees. Why don't maybe we try to be even first and then progress evenly everywhere from a certain point? Yes, indeed, we will need to have these schools here and there, but it seems to be a norm now that the provinces. I would say some. I have noticed this happening in three provinces in particular, where you see very expensive schools built when other schools, many schools are suffering in the far-flung areas. Chairperson, there was also a mention. Of the lowering of the compensation growth by 0.8%. I think that was SAOU. This is not going to assist a lot unless we find a way of dealing with this issue. And the remuneration of educators. These are big issues, because if teachers are not properly remunerated, I mean, those are the people who form the backbone of the nation. hence saying they are the mother of all the professions. The issue of the remuneration will have to be dealt with properly at the right forum, the PSCBC, but I believe that the Department of Education can assist also in this issue. We know that the nation is going through a serious difficulty, but freezing teachers' salaries, that would be detrimental to quite a number of things, Chairperson. So those are the things I believe that we need to look at. There is a school year which was mentioned by one of the organizations, which I believe they have to, these schools which are mentioned, which have serious problems, have to be attended to by the organizations themselves, but with the department helping, of course. One was mentioned by NATU, but I want to say to NATU, there are quite a number of those schools, one of them, which I will say maybe they need to visit. I have been to a school by the name of Kwanotoyi. There are serious problems in that school which continue unabated. If maybe the schools that have been identified as having those serious problems receive immediate attention, that would assist. But what do the teacher unions do when they reach a cul-de-sac, when they go to the HODs and the MECs? The HOD promises to address the issues. The MEC promises to address the issues. And then those issues are not addressed, not until teacher organizations maybe begin to demonstrate, march, and do all sorts of things. Which to us are not very helpful, but we understand the pressure behind the teacher unions, or rather the teacher themselves, when they embark on those activities. Chairperson, because of time, maybe let me put it at rest for now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Prof. Ngomo. Principal, are you back?
I'm back, Chair.
You can proceed.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm actually not proceeding. I'm wrapping up. You see, somebody on this platform, Chair, should be allergic to the Bible, because I want to quote my concluding remarks. I wanted to sum up everything said and done in the form of a message of hope or assurance. You see, in Exodus 3, verse 1 up to 4, there was troubles in Egypt. Moses was sent as a messenger to go and deliver a message by that we had. You are Christ. We have sinned. You are suffering. We are concerned. And finally, the Bible says, we have come. We can assure teacher unions that indeed it is our first very important thing as the portfolio committee we have today been raising. And some of these things, indeed, we have seen them. And as a portfolio committee, we are equally concerned. We will, within our powers, through oversight engagement, see what best we can do for purposes of improving the situation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Atwell.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also join the queue and welcome the presentations that we received from all our unions. As we indicated earlier, that is our first interaction with the union as part of the education sector and one of the very important stakeholder in the sector. Chair, let me also pass my condolences to all those teachers that we lost in the country under the difficult term of a COVID-19 pandemic, of which we are still under it, and we must continue take care of ourselves. Chair, I would just want to note the report or the presentation, because I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in making sure that we at least get a way forward or progress in what has been presented today, because most, if not all, of the things that we hear in the presentations, it's not for the first time we hear them. It's the presentations that we get from the department. At some point, we had interaction with the ELRC. We continuously have interactions with the SAES, South African Council of Educators. So those presentations, I think it was an eye-opener on our side as a portfolio committee to say what the teachers or the educators go through under the challenges of infrastructure, how are they affected. At least we got that picture. Under the pandemic, how were they affected? It's something that we also had the same concerns and challenges as and when we interact with the department. Let me appreciate these reports, because they are going to assist us in making sure that as and when we address some of the challenges with the department, would want to know how the teachers or the educators has been, affected, and how are they going to be assisted going forward? Because we can sit here and raise all these concerns, but if we're not going to act and make follow-ups and have progress and feedback, it will be for nothing. So I believe for now, Chair, we must note the presentation and make sure that we quantify the challenges and prioritize them to say, department, there's a challenge that affects the educators of infrastructure, of unfair labor practice, of the vacancies that they are there in schools, the overcrowding and so forth. So to me, it's a working document that we must always use to say, these are the presentations that we received from the unions, and how best can we utilize them in making sure that the same challenges that we have, the same challenges that we know in the sector, how are we going to use this information to make sure that these challenges are being addressed, and we also have, a continuous engagement and interactions with the unions to make sure that we are on par and we are on the same boat in making sure that we at least try to get somewhere in making sure that we achieve the quality education that we always talk about. And also as the sixth administration would want to see how best can we assist or move from where the FIP administration has, you know, has ended, and how best are we going to move to make sure that as our term ends as a public representatives, what is it that we are going to take home to say as this as the sixth parliament, as this portfolio committee, we managed to reach this level in making sure that in 2030, the education quality education goal will be reached. 80%. So I think for now, my input is that let us know the reports and make sure that we prioritize them, the challenges, and we continuously use this document to work on them and engage with the department and also with the unions as and when we there's a need to do so. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Suwela.
Thank you, Chairperson, and for the opportunity. And let me also welcome the presentations from all the teacher formations or unions. I would like to concur with Honorable Adams, who indicated that let us note the reports and repackage the information that we received from the unions, where they are province specific, find a way of dealing with that particular province, and those that requires the national department, then we process them that way, and also find time to reflect on these matters, so that we'll be able to give feedback to today's presenters. Chairperson, it is important to give feedback in the sense that if we have meetings for the sake of meetings, it will not be appropriate. And to the unions per se, thank you very much for availing yourself and giving us this important information that will assist us in our work as we continue to do so. As the committee, probably we should find space and time to process all these matters the way it should, so that we are able to get those answers and those responses that will improve the working conditions of our educators, as well as the learning conditions of our learners. Today we are celebrating. We are saying that the class of 2020 did very well under the difficult situation that we find ourselves in. It is the teachers that gave us that good work. And the teachers need to be supported. All the matters that they raise that pertains to their working conditions, they must be addressed. As the government of the day, we should not ignore the fact that behind the successes that we have in the basic education, there are human beings, there are teachers who are working, who got families to look after, and therefore their working conditions must improve so that they continue to give their best and produce the best result that we need as a country. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Rasuela. Mama Sabela.
Thank you, Chair. Most of the comments were covered by my colleagues. But let me start on the issue of funding for education, which all unions touched. We want to agree that while the education budget is expected to grow from 387.2 billion to 416 billion in 2023-24 financial year, it is insignificant considering the importance of education, especially in our country. So let me tell you, unions, we have consistently appealed for more resources to be directed at basic education. And we promise that We will continue to do so and support you and fight for the education of our children in the country. But what we want to tell you, the unions, is that we wrote letters to minister about all issues which we have raised. But unfortunately, we don't even get responses from the minister. And again, on the issue of teacher remuneration, what is also consistent in all the presentation is that teachers are underpaid, undervalued, and undermined. And also the issue of infrastructure, the issue of pit toilets after such a long period of democracy. This is despite the fact that they work under difficult conditions, made even worse by the current COVID-19 pandemic. So what we want to tell you is that we'll continue to support you, and you are not going to be tired to push the minister to respond to our letters, because what we have presented to us today is what we have asked the minister to respond to. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Masarela. Is there any other member? I don't see any hand. Okay. I don't see any hand. But safe to say that we have seen the presentations, and I think all the members have raised that we are passing as our condolences to the president of NATO, but also generally to all the teachers that have passed on during the period of the pandemic. There is an important issue here which was raised by one of the unions on how stressed the teachers are, which of course it's a matter that I think we need not to take light. But the question that I'm have with regards to that, to what extent are you with the unions contributing to the positive discipline of your members? And if any programs, do you have programs that you are initiating in working with SACE? So I because we will give all of you as an opportunity to respond, but also there was a union that has raised the issue of the ECD, and I think all of us at this stage we are well aware that the president announced last year that there needs to be a migration of ECD to DBE from social development, and I think the department is dealing with that. It's a matter that ourselves as well we are monitoring from time to time. I think we are going to get a briefing very soon also as well on that. But you know, as much as now, because I think in the slides there was an issue raised that there are frustrations with that regards, because there are no condition of services, but also there are no legislations, like we have pointed all those out. But you know, for a politician like me and you, there are other factors which the migration will cost our country in. Situations like you migrate, and of course you are going to get a legislation
because then you are migrating to Department of Basic Education, which there will be legislation thereof. And then there will be a condition of service. But the problem that there is that many people who are doing, who are busy with ECDs now, people who are not qualified. But also, there are many ECDs in our communities that we are also aware of that are not even structured for that matter. Now, in a way, that will create a lot of unemployment because all those people that are not qualified to be ECD, whether you call them carers or teachers or educators, I don't know, but they will not be able to get unemployment because then there will be this migration. And of course, I understand that it's not going to be your members because they are not qualified teachers. But to some extent, in my view, is that it is going to affect the country. But also one thing that I've made as an observation is that the campaign that you are having of denouncing the violence, I think that's a serious campaign, and it's a campaign which needs to be led actually by all, you know, by all stakeholders. You know, actually it would be nice if all unions embark into such a campaign, because this is a serious problem, and it's a serious problem that even was raised by the Minister of Finance. We are having assets in our country, and the assets that end up being burnt down by our own people when they decide to protest or for one reason or the other. But be that as it may, I think we all have seen and we all agree that we all understand the importance of a teacher in our country, and actually our country can't do without teachers. So with those words, we are trying to say that we acknowledge and we are very proud to have you as teachers in our country. Actually, our country cannot do without teachers. We've tried for the whole term, as a term where our kids were at home last year. We couldn't do it. We couldn't be teachers, even those that were getting some form of education via online. You can't, just as a parent, do it, because our children don't see us as learners first and foremost. But also how our country is, there are just places where even today you don't get even a form of internet. So our schooling system still needs a teacher in front of pupils in a classroom. And for that, we appreciate the work that you are doing. And that's why I was saying, you know, there is no work that actually runs smoothly. And that's why we're of the view that we have noted what you have raised. And to strengthen relations, it means that it's a matter that must be ongoing. We must continue having it, strengthening our relations as all the people actually that are in the education sector. Now I'm going to give to yourselves in the same order like you have presented. To have a bite, probably, if you want to speak on some few things, but also making a concluding remark. I'm not sure, DM, are you still in the meeting? Would you want to say something? Is DM gone?
Jefferson, I believe she did indicate that she had to leave a bit earlier, okay, for another meeting.
All right. No, it's fine. Now, can I give over to Sato? Tate Maluleke, or whoever that will be able, who's there to speak from SATU? Is SATU still in the meeting, Bahaish?
Yeah. No, Chair, we're still in the meeting.
Malela Bantu, are you sleeping?
No, I was on something. I asked the leadership to come in, so I thought the leadership should share as we lead collectively here. So let me jump in quickly then, because we don't have the luxury of time. First and foremost, just to appreciate the meeting and the constructive deliberations and acknowledgement by the members of the portfolio committee, their commitment and undertaking to help us be able to provide quality education for our children in this country and build a resilient and inclusive economy. We appreciate your proactiveness in terms of visiting particular provinces and learning what is happening there. We just hope that indeed we can change the things in our country that needs still to be changed so that one day all of us can say we have the best public education system in the world, because we are capable, we have commitment. To be able to do that. And therefore, we want to wish you all the best as you continue to deliberate in the Parliament in changing some of the legislation that needs to be changed, in particular the issue of the ECD that need to be speeded up so that we are able to have the better condition of services there, because that is the foundation of education. Any nation that does not build the foundation first in terms of preschooling, it's likely not be able to reap the benefits and the fruits of the, because you're denying those particular young ones the opportunity to develop fully so that they are able to benefit from a formal schooling. So it's very, very critical that we learn from successful nations that have been invest in ECD moving forward. So we really appreciate, Chair, and we don't want to take much of your time. We understand the observation that you have made, and we would be happy to really work with you around the campaigns in protecting our future. And protecting our future means the facilities, the properties that are there are ours. The damage that apartheid did was to say you don't own any ship. So you know, you are dispossessed, and then you don't own anything. When you are in the bus taking a trip from Limpopo in Polokwane, you're coming to the zoo, you say, it's deliberate. It was done, it was planned that it should be like that. So some people still believe that Kiamahua, so they can still burn it because it's not theirs. They don't identify with it. They don't associate with it. So we need that identity back. We need our staff to be back and be able to say each and everything that is in this country, we have to fix it ourselves, and not anybody can fix what is in this country. We have the solutions. We just have got to work together. And that is what I would want to make my closing remarks on behalf of my leadership that is here. And thank you that we will meet maybe again. That would be our wish, really, that maybe we have got some twice a year we meet, or three times a year. We know that you work so hard. You have got constituency meetings that you've got to go and attend to. So we know that it's very tough. But if we can improve, Chair, just simple things, efficiency, if there is a law that needs to be passed and then the consultation is done, public work done, can't we do things better? Now I still ask myself, why is it that people are able to get a passport in one day and South Africa is not able to get a passport in 3 days and so forth when we have got the resources? It's because of the skills, it's because of our attitude and mindset that we must change. Why is it that when I go to a hospital, it's so dirty? And I always ask General Secretary, why is it so dead? Why is it that it's different when you go to a private hospital? The same person who clean public school,
public hospital, it's the same person who comes from the same community but go to a private school. Is that the damage that has been done to us, that every time we would want a foreman to be behind us? Let's change education, and education must change us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nopala.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From our side and the side of the SAU, on behalf of my president and our standing committee and the National Executive Council, thank you for the opportunity to share some ideas with you. It has been alluded to that we would like to establish a working relationship with the Portfolio Committee of Basic Education. And as I intimated in the beginning, it will be important that we continue with the discussions, because it is a process to establish a working relationship and not an event. I also listened carefully with regard to what some of the people have said on the Portfolio Committee, your members, that sometimes they feel that they are also speaking against a stone wall, and that the input of the Portfolio Committee is not really appreciated in some forums. And Madam Chair, that is exactly the frustration that we experience with regard to consultations. We have had discussions amongst each other on how we're going to take this matter of consultation forward, because in terms of the National Education Policy Act, we are one of the primary parties that need to be listened to, but we are not listened to carefully. And it's almost as if there's a deliberate abuse of the managerial prerogative, and that's something that needs to be addressed, because I think if we can take hands and work together as a team, it can go so much better for everyone. Mr. Nkobo was also correct when he said that the ELRC structures have to be used better to avoid litigation, and we agree wholeheartedly with him. But I think that is also something that needs to be focused on in future. And then there was a question, I think, by you as the chairperson to say that do we as teacher unions have programs in place with regard to psychosocial and support to our members? And I can report that we do have such programs in place. We have several such courses that we provide to our members over the virtual platforms, and they focus on the principles of healthy living, you know, not only in terms of physical health, but also in emotional and spiritual health. We try to instill soft skills with specific reference to emotional intelligence. We focus on learner discipline and how to deal with that effectively. And then we also try to give hints on how to reduce the administrative burden that teachers have to contend with. Because let's be honest, that is a serious matter that teachers experience on a daily basis. And it's almost as if there's an attempt to micromanage schools and micromanage educators instead of trusting them. And I think if you look at what happened last year, is that there was a lot of trust instilled in teachers, and that's why we had those wonderful grade 12 results and also wonderful results in all the other grades as well. So it's a plea for you, Madam Chair, to also consider that maybe we have outlived the longevity of the current school management and governance models, that maybe it is time to look at refined models in this regard. But once again, thank you for the opportunity. Be assured that we do not take it for granted. We appreciate it, and we look forward to continued discussions. Thank you, Madam Chair. God bless.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Peu.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. On behalf of the President and the General Secretary who are here, we also sing the same song of appreciating your responses towards having us in this meeting and then allowing us to air what we believe is what affects the education system as a whole. In our way of appreciating the way you responded to us, we would also wish that, Madam Chair, that going forward, there may be a structured way in such that will help us to meet on a time and again, as the General Secretary of SATU said, that even if we meet twice a year or what, and even in your oversight commitments, sometimes you may extend invitation so that whatever that you are doing in provinces, we will be singing the same song or we'll be on the same page with you in terms of understanding. And as the Professional Educators Union, we further commit ourselves in terms of participating and availability in all the meetings that will have as our engagement going forward. We also wish that the issues that were raised in this meeting, more especially those about ECD funding, more especially for teacher development, will be treated as a matter of urgency, so that we can be able to say at least we can see our movement. And then the other part is that we wish that our Department of Education and our government can speed up the matter of bridging the gap between the schools that are well to do and those that are poorer, much poorer than others. That will be in pursuit of the same quality education we talk about. And then the last one is the issue of appointing those temporal educators that are said to be temporal for a number of years. As Mr. Klopper once just said, that if you can adopt the Gauteng system, which I'm not so sure whether is also done consistently, but so as long it is said to be good, that after 3 months, the principal must start applying to make it a point that an educator is permanent. That will also motivate our teachers to do more. Then in response with the issue, Madam Chairperson, that I think you raised about FACE, I think in this meeting, if I can observe clearly, some of the members that are here are also FACE counselors, and that means whatever that we agree in here is what we make sure that filters down to our teachers, and we try. However, FACE as an entity, remember, is dealing with plus minus 465,000 teachers, which at least sometimes may not be as quick as one may think of. So I'm talking of issues of psychosocial support for our teachers, which means the department may also have to try and lay a hand in relation to that, more especially in this cloud of COVID-19. Otherwise, Madam Chair, as the Professional Educators Union and all the labor unions around here in this meeting and the portfolio committee members, we wish to thank you and appreciate the effort done to meet us. And we, as said before, God bless you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Natu.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. On behalf of the Central Executive Board of the National Teachers Union, we would like to appreciate the opportunity given to us to be able to air out our own critical issues that we face daily in our when we deal with teachers. And we also appreciate that the committee, the portfolio committee, is willing to help in whatever circumstances in order to take the education sector forward. So we appreciate everything that you have said you are going to do for us, and as well as looking back and saying if maybe the mobile classes can be made to be the first priority, because when we visit school, we see to it that the schools are really short of classes and the learners are being squashed, especially in the deep rural areas. Learners are squashed in each class, so their teachers as well as learners are not adhering to the COVID-19 protocols and regulations, as well as the toilets. If you can go back there, it's a really disaster. So we appreciate that the committee is willing to help the citizens of South Africa, because once you help the schools, they are helping the entire nation, as well as the educators themselves. And we are appreciating that the portfolio committee is saying that it's going to work with the provincial education system, whereby they must do work accordingly, because teachers out there, they are really stressed because of what is taking place. So a healthy mind will be able to impart knowledge to the learner. So we really appreciate that.
maybe IFIA can go as well as to the states as we have been, as we have asked. For example, the National Teachers Union always invites the state personnel to come to our offices, where we also call our own leadership. Then they capacitate them in whatever the new policies or new regulations are there. So, and then we also called our leaders as well as our members, where they are also capacitated. So we always work hand in glove with the faith people. So here again, I'm saying the chairperson, thank you very much. We are so pleased that you have given us a chance, and we are so willing that in each and every time when you feel that you want to assist, please don't hesitate. The unions are there to assist in the growing of the young ones, as well as seeing to it that the teachers are there and they are safe as well as healthy in the schools, because that is what is important for us all. We thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Naptosa?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quality public education is what you are about, and that is what we are about. And that is where our synergy begins and continues to grow. So at first, to thank you for your attention, your keen responses, and to appreciate, of course, the inputs and the embracing of what has been said, not only by Naptosa, but by everybody else. Insofar as the work we as a union do, we hold every week approximately 12 workshops on various items. And of course, our great focus at the moment has been on the mental health of our teachers. And approximately training about 150 to 200 people at a time, which says that there is a significant need. Because these are voluntary, these are people that join, they spend their own data because this is online. However, it's inadequate because what our provincial departments are offering doesn't reach our people. So just to, in direct answer to your question, yes, we are trying. But I think it was Mugwena who highlighted the issue of the TUC and how the TUC is not being funded. And that is where we primarily would have been helping the very Department of Education, the DBE, in ensuring that we are assisting our teachers, we are upgrading, we are facilitating and ensuring that the needs as they arise at this time are being directly attended to. But I also want to join the chorus of asking that we grow the relationship between ourselves and yourselves, and that we see where the commonalities lie and how we can complement one another in ensuring that we have better outcomes. I thank you, and on behalf of my union and my president who's present, I want to acknowledge that this has been a fruitful exercise. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, Bonga, so much. Thank you very much. To everybody that has been in the meeting, we are really thanking you for honoring our invite as the portfolio committee, and we are equally grateful for the work that you are doing for our children in the country as teachers. Like we have said, and I think many members have said that. We would need to be now and then talking to each other. You know, we would need to share ideas, because there are many challenges. Education is a social matter as well. So there are many challenges in the sector, and they need everybody to put their heads together and work together. So thank you very much for your time. Like we have said, we have noted everything that you have raised. And we are going to make sure that at least, like you are suggesting, that we meet even if it's twice or three times a year, just to check what is it that we can do to assist one another on in getting whatever problem that would be there for all of us. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I would request the union members, you can leave us now in the meeting, as we are going to be left as the committee. Llewellyn?
Chairperson?
Can you flag for us the report, oversight report, and the second quarterly report?
Will do, Chairperson.
Machipi, can you leave us, please? Is it Ben Machipi?
To leave. I'm trying to leave, Chairperson. I don't know what is happening. Oh,
you've got problems with your gadget. Members, I believe you got...
Just leave your gadget and run away.
Members, I believe you got these reports at least 2 weeks back. You remember we couldn't adopt them because of our schedule that was so hectic. So I take it that each member at least have went through the report. This is an oversight report. We are reporting on our oversight that we have done in Gauteng province, Ekuruleni district, and in KwaZulu-Natal, Umzimkhulu, and Ixhopho district, and Eastern Cape, Matatiele, and Mount Fletcher district. So we had our oversight that started on the 31st of January to 6th February. And as I have indicated, we went to those three provinces. Now, we've done oversight to check on the status of COVID-19 lockdown and also on the reopening of schools. We checked the regulation, the procurement essentials, the curriculum coverage, the infrastructure, the social distancing, the safety and security. We checked water and sanitation. We checked screening, testing and tracing, scholar transport, and school nutrition. So we checked the state of admissions, provisions of learner teacher support material, the staff establishments, the SGB vital roles of government, the measurement to deal with dropout rates and return of learners, the access to ICT, and the practical support spectrum for educators. So like we have said, in Gauteng, we were there and we were welcomed by the MEC and his entourage, the HOD. We received from all of them in their provinces the report. And that was the delegation that went in provinces. And we were joined in all provinces by the members of the portfolio committees in those provinces as well. And there was also senior managers that have joined us from DPE, and also that is the members from the provinces. Those are officials. That's MCs and their officials. And then we had also organized labor in almost all provinces, and that's the oversight and monitoring visit that we have done in Gauteng. And also, we are reflecting on our engagements with the department. And we have made those observations as the committee, and the responses from Department of Gauteng that they have given to us, responses that were led by the MEC. Like you know, and those are the recommendations that we have made to the department. And then there were visits to the schools. We split it into two groups. There was a group that went to Rhodes Falls Technical High School, and that is the report with that regard, the observations that were made in the school and the responses and the recommendations. And then this is the Full Service Primary School. There also members had observations as well, and there were responses from the school, and those are the committee recommendations. And then we moved to KZN, where we went to Ikopo High School, Impunga Full Service School, and Daniel Mzamo Special School. And then we went to Umzimkulu District as well, where we went to Unombewu Full Service School, Mhlaba Combined School, Vulekani Special School, and Kromhoek Primary School. We had first an engagement with the department in KZN. No, actually we started with the, we started with the visits in KZN, yeah. But this is a reflection of the meeting with the MEC and the entourage, and those are the observations from the members. Those are the recommendations. And then we visit to Ikopo. That is the report for Ikopo High. And its observations and its responses and recommendations. And then Impunga Full Service School, there's a reflection on it as well, on the observations, on the responses, and of course on the recommendations. And then we went to Daniel Mzamo. And those are the observations, the responses, and the recommendations. And then we went to Umzimkulu District. We went to Nombewu Full Service School. Those are the observations, the recommendations. Then we went to Mhlaba Combined School. There were discussions by the members. We got responses from the school, and there were recommendations as well. And then we went to Vulekani Special School. Those are the observations, the recommendations. Then we went to Kromhoek Primary School. So we had observations, there were responses and recommendations as well. Then we moved to the Eastern Cape, to Matatiele District and Mount Fletcher District. We had engagements with the department. That was our first thing we have done. And they have briefed us generally on the province, and we have made our observations as the members, which they also responded to. and we have made recommendations thereof. So in Matatiele, we've visited the Moshesh Technical and Agricultural High School, and we visited the Manguzela full service school, and we visited the special school, and then those are the we split it if members would recall. And those are the observations and the recommendations. And then the last district we visited was Mount Fletcher. We went to Sidinane Technical School. And they are the observations of the members and the responses by the school and the recommendation. And then we went to Mount Fletcher Special School, and those are the we went to Ititabane. I think this was the last school we went to. Ititabane, a full service school. And those were the observations, the recommendations, and conclusion. In this school, we have agreed that we will arrange a meeting then with both the province and the and national department, so that we can be able to push from our side that the school needs to be built, and they need, because there was a playing game that was there. So it's a meeting that we are going to have very soon with both the department from province and national to look into the situation of that school. So that's the appreciation that we are giving to the people who've been with us throughout the oversight for that particular week. So the report to be considered. We would then ask members to make corrections, if there are any corrections. In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the oversight report?
Adopt.
Honorable Malachi is moving. Honorable Advance is seconding. Thank you very much. Can we have the second quarterly report, Llewellyn? Thank you very much, members. This is the second quarterly report, which was reported to us by the Department of Basic Education in meeting their predetermined objectives for 2020-21. On the introduction, we are saying that we received the committee report, which the report which gave an overview by the department, which they focus on mainly on their achievements, the output in respect of performance indicators and planned targets of the predetermined objectives that were set for 2020-21 financial year. Performance indicators and targets, those are the programs of the department, and the achievements that the department had for the second quarter, the performance per program against performance indicators and targets, which we had it, that is the program one, the administration, they are reflecting on their targets, on program two as well. They are reflecting on the targets. Right? On program three, they are reflecting on the targets as well. Program four, also the targets as well. Program five, also the targets. So we also got the financial report from the department, and that's how the financial report is. The special adjustments also that were done for the quarter due to COVID, and they gave the reasons for reductions. A pair program. So in all programs, they gave reasons, and then the special adjustment reduction per economic classification. And they gave reasons for reduction on economic classification as well. So those are the actual expenditure per program. So that is reflecting, and they gave reasons as well for the economic classification. And the allocation against actual expenditure for economic classification. And they gave reasons for classification expenditure. The allocation of actual expenditure for 2020-2021. And the challenges and mitigatory measures which they have highlighted. And the details of earmarked allocation, the grants, conditional grants, and the challenges, and the details of transfers against actual expenditure, and the reasons for transfers. And then those are the committee observations. And the responses from the department. And then those are the committee recommendations. So members, that's the second quarterly report. Any corrections? In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the report? Can we adopt the report, members? I adopt, Chair. Yeah. Where are the people? Are they gone? Any seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adwans and Malachi. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We have come to an end then of this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your participation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Principal Lele.
Lele, Lele.
But if you look at the latest parliamentary program, that whole week there'll be plenaries. Even up until the Friday, there'll be plenaries that last week in March. So the suggestion is that we maybe just call, as we normally do, DBE, SACE, and Umalusi for their budget, the budget vote processing, as we normally do. And not we won't be able to go to Pretoria this time around.
Okay. So you're suggesting that we meet tomorrow?
So you're suggesting that
instead of going to Joburg?
Instead of going to Joburg, because of the plenary that week, there's a plenary the whole week, the week of that 19th of March. That's the week we wanted to go and workshop with them in Pretoria. But I've been told that DBE and the statutory bodies would have tabled by the 11th of March, so we can call them to our engagement with them on the budget vote. But we'll do it as we normally do virtually, Chairperson.
Oh, okay.
But we can discuss.
All right,
thank
then.
You very much.
Oh, it's fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
All right, bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. I'm going to end the session for everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Luella?
Yes.